We just getting started, baby. Did anybody see what Mr. Wardell Steph Curry did to the Portland Trail Blazers? They were nobodies. They beat the Giants. Trash. They beat the Broncos. Trash. If you ever watched Dragon Ball Z, my mans was Super Saiyan. I couldn't wear this until we actually caught a dub. And he did all of this damage in 36 minutes. Let that sink in. They beat the Eagles, trash, the Cowboys, trash, the Bengals, trash, the Jaguars, trash. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, you heard it here on Rob's Two Cents. My good people, my good people. Hello, world. I'd like to welcome you all back to the show that's hot with your boy, Rob Scott. This is Rob's Two Cents, baby. What's going on, everybody? Hope you guys enjoyed your weekend, man. Hope you guys had a great, productive week last week. Hope your weekend was relaxing for you. You got some things done that you needed to get done that you couldn't get done during the week. Hey, just hope you guys have an overall great day. And it's another week, baby. It's another Monday, baby. You guys watching this on Tuesday, appreciate you guys for tuning in. We saw some great games this past weekend, saw some records being made this past weekend. Just an action-packed sports field weekend, and I enjoyed every second of it. I had a great weekend myself, got some relaxing done, trying to figure out what my next play is. Also, going to be hosting on Monday evening. So by the time you guys watch this, I would have already hosted the game. But my boy Jesse, you know what I'm saying, a.k.a. Big Schlees, he has started a semi-pro league called the Guerrilla Warfare Semi-Pro League. It's a Chicago Pro-Am League. And I've been asked to host tonight's games. So Rob's Two Cents is going on the road. So I appreciate him for keeping me in mind, just trying to grow my brand, and he's trying to grow his. So we coming together and trying to make this thing happen. So again, to my boy Jesse, I appreciate you. Can't wait to call the games on this Monday night. And on Tuesday, when you guys are watching this show, I hope by next show I'm telling you guys that I had a successful outing, which I know I will. I prepare the right way. So, you know, I'm definitely excited about doing that. I'm actually recording this show before I go do that. So, you know, keeping my priorities straight, got to get this show done, but also, you know, taking care of other things, you know, getting my name out here, building my brand. That's what we all about in 2021, man. And as I mentioned, I want to thank him again. I want to thank Brother Jerry Riles for having my show on the Rewind Sports 60 Roku channel. He got some things playing, which, you know, as he grow, my shows grow. So everybody who's had a helping hand and getting to where I'm at so far, I appreciate you guys. But we got to talk about the sports, because that's what you come in for. So if you're watching this on your morning commute, make sure you keep both eyes on the road, both hands on the steering wheel. Get you a cup of coffee, and if you want to have a drink or two early in the morning, just do it in a classy way. It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Kick your feet up. Come tune in for the hottest sports conversation in the nation. This is Rob's Two Cents, and we got to start off talking about the Kansas City Chiefs. Because we saw this past Sunday, they got massacred in a morning game by the Tennessee Titans. It was no contest. The Titans was all over them boys, making Patrick Mahomes cough up the ball. The Chiefs have not looked the same this year after their loss to Tennessee. Record sitting at 3-4. Final score, 27-3. They could not even score a touchdown. Did you hear what I'm telling you guys right now, man? I mean, it was just a massacre. And we got to talk about what happened during the game. As I mentioned, Tennessee jumped out all over them boys. If we look at Patrick Mahomes and Kansas City Chiefs on their side of the ball, Patrick had an okay game. I wouldn't say it was horribly bad, but it definitely wasn't good. He was 20-35 in the air for 206 yards. No touchdowns, which I can't believe. We haven't seen him this bad since the Super Bowl against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. a game in which he also threw no touchdown, but and one interception. Just didn't get anything done. It had no running game. Patrick Mahomes led all rushers for 6 carries with 35 yards. Couldn't really get his receivers going in the air. As I mentioned, he threw no touchdowns. As we know, that defense is abysmal. As Tennessee was able to jump out to pretty much winning this game in the first half, didn't score anything in the second half, scored 14 points in the first, 13 points in the second quarter. I mean, Tennessee got, you want to talk about coming in early and getting the job done and then leaving right in time for lunch. I mean, Tennessee came and did that thing. Ryan Tannehill, and this is pretty interesting because as you guys didn't know, you know, Derrick Henry's been doing some amazing things for Tennessee. As I mentioned, that he had ran back-to-back games over 125 yards, scoring 3 touchdowns in both of those games. So, you know, Derrick Henry was on the tear. So any team's game plan is to try to take away what you do best. And as we know with Tennessee, they run the best. They have a beast of a running back in Derrick Henry. And what Kansas City did was they came in, they took away the run. Derrick Henry wasn't that successful on the ground. 29 carries for 86 yards. A lot of carries for your running back. And even though we know Derrick Henry is a beast, we don't want to see you burn out his fire too fast. We don't want to see that fire burn out, that light burn out too fast by giving Derrick Henry all these carries, because no matter how big he is, no matter how strong he is, sooner or later, those hits begin to add up. But Derrick Henry, as I mentioned, 29 carries on 86 yards on the ground, no touchdown, average about 3 yards per play. But Ryan Tannehill came out, shocked everybody, because he came in, he went 21 to 27 in the air for 270 yards. Yes, he threw one interception, but he also threw you a touchdown, and he did not throw the game away. And let me tell you this, Derrick Henry showing off his arm also had a touchdown pass for 5 yards in the red zone. So they're bringing out the trickery, the trick plays out there on Kansas City. A.J. Brown had himself a game. 8 receptions, 133 yards on the ground, 1 touchdown, averaged about 16 and a half yards per catch. Julio Jones, even though he's not the same as he used to be, he still gave you 2 receptions for 38 yards, but they were held together by A.J. Brown, who just kept making big catch after big catch after big catch. And again, Tennessee was able to go through Kansas City, which is shocking because if we look at Tennessee, Tennessee is 5-2 on the year and do not look to be slowing down. I mean, it's going down right now in Tennessee. And also that defense just making Patrick Mahomes look subpar. I mean, Kansas City gave up 4 sacks. Patrick Mahomes threw 1 interception. He lost 2 balls via fumble. I mean, Patrick Mahomes was just a mess this past Sunday. And Patrick Mahomes hasn't really looked good this entire season. If we look at Patrick Mahomes' stats right now, yes, he's thrown for 18 touchdowns. He's already over 2,000 yards within 7 games. But if we look here, he has 9 interceptions on the year, and he also has 2 fumbles on the year, giving him a total of 11 turnovers. This is far from the guy we saw last year that led his team to the Super Bowl game, who threw 38 touchdowns last year, who only had 6 interceptions last year, who was one of the front runners in the MVP race, even though we know Aaron Rodgers eventually won that race. I mean, even looking at his sophomore campaign in which he was named the starter, I mean, we look at Patrick Mahomes at the way that he was going, his trajectory, he was looking like he was going to be, you know, the up-and-coming GOAT, throwing for 50 touchdowns that season and only 12 interceptions. We fast forward here to 2021, the Chiefs right now, not even in Super Bowl talk, not even in playoff contention, and Patrick Mahomes throwing 18 touchdowns and only 9 interceptions. I mean, that is not good, Pat. And we know that defense is bad. Patrick Mahomes is trying to overcompensate, because he's trying to do more because he does not want that ball to go back in the offensive of the opposing team's hands because this defense can't stop anything. They can't stop anything. I mean, if they were a dam, they wouldn't even be able to stop the river from flowing into the city. They can't stop anything. Kansas City defense has to be ranked in all categories in the lower 20s. It's only 32 teams in the NFL, ladies and gentlemen. Just horrible this year. And as I mentioned, the Kansas City Chiefs, they're third place in their division. A division that has the Oakland Raiders and the LA Chargers, who both have made significant improvements in their team this year. And it's definitely showed, especially with LA going through that debacle with their head coach and John Gruden, him resigning from the team and them trying to, you know, get away from the distraction that he left on this team. The Raiders are looking pretty good, but the Chiefs, who are normally a staple in the AFC West. Remember, we're talking about a team that's been to the AFC Championship game in three consecutive years, have been to back-to-back Super Bowl games, have even won one of those games when they won that Super Bowl against the 49ers. So it's just a confusion about this Kansas City City Chiefs team. You don't know what's the problem. I mean, we do know that they're defensively disabled. I should say they are defensively challenged. But that offense, man, you know, with still having Travis Kelce, still having Tyreek Hill, bringing in a Josh Gordon, you would think that they would be able to put points on the board, but that has not been the case. So, like, Patrick Mahomes has caught the turnover bug. We hope he's able to get back to form. I believe the Chiefs will get back to form, but they were a lot of people's Super Bowl picks, not mine, but a lot of people's Super Bowl picks, and looks like the Chiefs are going to have a hard time just making the playoffs. We'll keep our eyes on them as this season begins to develop. As for Derrick Henry on the side of the ball, his streak has stopped as he wasn't able to go over 100 yards this game, wasn't able to get any touchdowns on the ground, so he still sits at 10 touchdowns on the year with 869 yards. So we'll be keeping our eyes on him as he's in that MVP watch because another person that was in that MVP watch again had themselves a day and also made a little history. But let's jump over to the NBA for a little bit. Let's talk about the Golden State Warriors. Let's talk about my boy Steph Curry, because he has been on a tear this year. Right now has his Warriors sitting at 3-0. The NBA is back, baby. Golden State in second place in the power rankings, which I don't agree with. I believe them or the Bulls should be first or second, respectively, as they've been able to run through their teams, especially with the Warriors in particularly playing two playoff contended teams and then also playing a tough Sacramento team as well. They come in a game opener against the Lakers. Steph didn't really have a great shooting game. He was 5 of 21, 2 of 8 from the three-point line. He only gave you 21 points, but he gets his 8th triple-double of his career, going 21 points, 10 rebounds, 10 assists, 3 steals, only 4 turnovers. I mean, and we know that the turnover thing is a big, big problem in Golden State, so they're hopefully consciously trying to work on that, but they were able to defeat the Los Angeles Lakers pretty handily, final score being 121-114, and then we look at game two of the Golden State's young season. They were able to beat the Clippers again very handily, 115-113. It was a closer game than what it sounds like in score, the Warriors had this game pretty much won, got a little closer in the fourth. Steph Curry starts out that game going berserk. He scored 25 points off 9 straight shots and didn't miss not a shot. 9 of 9, he was perfect from the field. Steph Curry catching the Holy Ghost in the first quarter. Got quiet a little bit in the second and the third and some of the fourth. But when you needed him the most, he steps back up in the fourth and have the unmitigated gall to take a 32-footer, a three-point shot, logo shot, with the game on the line, and takes out the Clippers' heart. And then the Clippers able to come back, hit a layup, take the lead again by 1 point. Steph Curry then comes back, hits another three from the wing. I mean, Steph Curry just stepping up when you need him. That game, as I mentioned, caught the Holy Ghost, 16 to 25 from the field, 8 to 13 from the three-point line. Again, giving you 10 rebounds and one steal, even one block, giving you 45 points in total. Then against Sacramento, only scoring 27 points. He was 9 of 23, 4 of 15 from the three-point line. Got to get that shooting, man. Got to be more consistent stuff. But he also gave you 10 assists, 3 steals, and 7 rebounds. They just went through Sacramento, 119 to 107. Golden State now 3-0, one of the few undefeated teams left in the NBA after the start of the young season, and through three games, has averaging 9 rebounds. We know he can score. Him having 31 points, that's not shocking to us. But him giving you 9 rebounds through three games, him averaging 7 assists through three games, that is impressive. Steph Curry already making a name for himself through this very young NBA season, letting everybody know why you're picking this guy to be MVP and you're picking that guy to be MVP. Don't forget about me, the only unanimous MVP to ever play this game. Steph Curry doing his thing. And I told a lot of people, do not sleep on this Golden State Warriors team. You got to remember, Klay is not there. You got to remember, James Wiseman is not there. That rookie that they picked up in the offseason, he's not there. So you got a lot of people that are not there for this team. And I do believe that Golden State is only going to get better once they bring in these guys and start to get their roster back in order. I mean, Andre Iguodala didn't even play in the last game against the Sacramento Kings. So, you know, the return of him, having Steph pick up and be the Steph that we know, Andrew Wiggins playing big this year, getting Otto Porter, who surprisingly been holding it down in the paint, helping out Draymond Green, helping out Kevon Looney. So they got some guys on this squad. Gary Payton, too, Jr., stepping up big, getting Bielitsa, him being able to be another playmaker for this team. I'm telling you, man, the Golden State Warriors, we know about Damian Lee. We know about Jordan Poole. Jordan Poole's been stepping up, as we saw all preseason, making big shot after big shot, and he's starting to carry that into the regular season. He's going to be a nice guard to be in that rotation, especially when Klay comes back. You have somebody like Jordan Poole, who's instant offense off the bench, coming in with that second unit and doing damage. Golden State Warriors is going to be a team to be reckoned with in these upcoming playoffs, and they're going to make a lot of noise. And another team that's going to make a lot of noise as we go out east is the team who you see on my hat right now, and that's the Chicago Bulls, my Chicago Bulls. The city is looking good right now. We got a lot to rejoice about right now because the Chicago Bulls, my friends, are also a team that's undefeated, looking to stay undefeated tonight as they go against Toronto. You know, the Bulls coming in made some huge key acquisitions in the offseason, as they got Lonzo Ball, as they got DeMar DeRozan, as they got Alex Caruso. I mean, it's picking up players like this, you know, players who defend well, players who could get their own shot. You bring in some champion pedigree with Alex Caruso. As you guys recall, he was on that Lakers championship team in the bubble, playing with LeBron, playing with AD, playing with Rondo. So he's been around great players and know what's expected of them. And we saw in the preseason that this is going to be an exciting team. This is going to be a defensively sound team. I like them with that boy Green, who's just a Javonte Green, who's just a stud. I mean, jumping out the gym everywhere, just being there defensively, being that energy guy. We know what Alonzo can do setting up the team. Him and Caruso, a great tandem as the point guards for this team. DeMar DeRozan being able to shine, playing with a team that's gonna have his back, and then of course, you know, we got the big man Vucevic holding down the paint, can be great in that pick and roll, can stretch the floor, hit the three ball, and we are seeing a star being born right in front of our eyes with Zach LaVine. Let me tell you guys something. Zach LaVine is a professional scorer. He is a bucket getter. If you need a bucket, you go to Zach LaVine. Zach LaVine playing his heart out this season. I mean, we saw in the previous game when the Bulls were going against Detroit, I mean, the Pelicans. I mean, Zach LaVine scored 20 points in 6 minutes. I mean, he was letting his team go off, but when it's time to get a bucket, when it's time to step up, Zach LaVine being right there, doing what he got to do to make this team better, and you can tell that he's happy that he has people around that's going to step up big with him. The Chicago Bulls is going to be a team also to be reckoned with in the East, especially we see the controversy with Brooklyn, not having Kyrie on the floor and the impact that's had on them. We don't know what's going to be the situation with Philly, with Ben Simmons. Is he going to come back to Philly? Is he going to play this year? Is Atlanta going to be the same team that they were last year? Is are New York going to continue to develop and make their way up in the Eastern Conference? Celtics haven't been looking too good, at least in these first couple of games that we've seen in this young season. I like how Charlotte is looking, you know, getting LaMelo to start, letting LaMelo come in and be Melo. He's doing his thing. But right now, the East is wide open, and Washington Wizards have been looking pretty good. Letting Westbrook go, giving Westbrook to the Lakers. Now you bring in the Kyle Kuzma. You got Bradley Beal already over there. You bring in some more young talent, and Washington is not looking bad at all. So, it's going to be definitely interesting in this Eastern Conference. It's definitely not the Eastern Conference anymore. There's definitely some competition in the East, and we don't know who's going to be the champion this year. Lakers not being that dominant team that everybody thought they were going to be out West. Phoenix still looking good. Milwaukee still looking good. Can't overlook the champion. And Milwaukee is definitely going to have their fingerprints all over the up-and-coming playoffs. So it's going to be interesting to watch these teams come together. And I think the Bulls are going to be right there in the thick of things. When it's all said and done, I don't even think they'll be in a play-in tournament. I think they're going to make it to the playoffs. I think they're going to be in the upper echelon class of the Eastern Conference. They're going to be at least a fourth or fifth place. I don't see the Bulls in that top three, but then again, you know, as the season progresses and they start to get their chemistry together. Remember, this is the first time a lot of these players are playing together. It's going to be interesting to see what the Bulls can do and how they develop. But I want to give somebody their flowers right now. We have to talk about the Los Angeles Lakers because, as I just mentioned, they have not been looking good. They didn't win a single game in the preseason. They were 0-6 in the preseason. I know it's nothing to panic over. It's just preseason. But it's like, man, are you going to win at least one game? Are you going to get your chemistry together? I didn't like the rotations that the coach was putting in, not playing AD, LeBron, and Westbrook together until the last couple of games. You know, the first time that this Big Three together, you want them to get as many minutes on the court as they can. But the preseason is over now. Regular season has started, and they lost their first two games, as I mentioned earlier. Lost a home opener against the Golden State Warriors. They then lose a NBA divisional playoff round rematch against the Phoenix Suns. As I mentioned, Phoenix is looking good, and we were starting to get a little worried about the Lakers. And even against Memphis this past Saturday against the Grizzlies, Ja Morant came out and gave them the business. Ja Morant has shown that he is one of them boys. He is one of them guys. And he's going to be around in this NBA for a long time causing havoc. as he went for 40 points off 13 to 21 shooting from the field, 5 of 7 from the three-point line, also gave you 10 dimes, also gave you 3 rebounds, also gave you 3 steals. Man, I mean, he was everywhere making spectacular play after spectacular play. I mean, we saw the Jordan-like layup in which he came up on one side, switched the ball to his other hand, finished with the opposite hand, the spin move on Bazemore, who he gave Bazemore the business all night, to the layup. Really came down to him hitting 3 free throws as he got fouled on a 3-point shot. Could have hit 3 free throws to tie up the game. He wasn't able to connect on the last one. The Lakers able escaping with their lives, winning 121 to 118 against the Memphis Grizzlies. Westbrook didn't have a good game, but he started to wake up a little bit. He did give you 13 points. He had 13 assists with 7 rebounds, but he was 5 of 15 from the field, 1 of 4 from the three-point line, 9 turnovers in the game. As we know, Westbrook has led the league in turnovers in the last couple of years. So, a big concern for the Los Angeles Lakers, because that can definitely throw you off your groove. LeBron had a good game, 19 points. He was 7 of 19 from the field. However, he gave you 6 assists, 6 rebounds, 2 blocks, 2 steals. AD had a great game, 8 of 15 from the field with 22 points, gives you 8 rebounds and 2 assists. But the person I want to give their flowers to, and we talked about Ja Morant and what a game he had, and if they would have beat the Lakers, he would have been the topic of conversation for this next segment. But Carmelo Anthony made history by passing Moses Malone for 8 on the all-time scoring list. I mean, for 9 on the all-time scoring list. So Carmelo Anthony currently sits at 9, right behind Shaquille O'Neal and Wilt Chamberlain and Dirk Nowitzki, who are 6, 7, and 8, respectfully. Dirk being 6, Wilt being 7, Shaq being 8. So he's sitting right behind Shaquille O'Neal. Through his illustrious career, Carmelo Anthony has scored 27,423 points in his career, and does not look to be slowing down, because even though he's a bench player for this Los Angeles Lakers team, he was the reason that they were able to win this game. Carmelo Anthony had himself a game, going for 28 points, 10 of 15 shooting, 6 of 8 from the three-point line. Also gave you 3 rebounds and 1 steal and 2 blocks from Melo, not known for his defense, but stepping up big when the Lakers needed him. And as I just mentioned, passing Moses, the great Moses Malone, for 9th on the all-time NBA scoring list. Carmelo Anthony, just a professional bucket getter. Just a person that's always got buckets, especially in those Denver years when he just used to go berserk, just putting up numbers for his team. Carmelo Anthony, that boy Cole. And congratulations, sir. He's one of the reasons that I don't mind seeing the Lakers win an NBA championship, even though I'm not rooting for the Lakers. However, I'm always rooting for Melo. Remember, just a couple of years ago, he was on his couch, wondering if he would ever play in the NBA again. You know, Damian Lillard and the Portland Trailblazers stepping up and saying, we trust Melo. We not going to leave a player of that caliber at home on his couch where we can use him over here. Gave Portland some good years. They went to the playoffs in those years. Melo showing that he still got something left in the tank. I'm happy for Melo. Melo's always been one of my favorite players. As I mentioned, just a person that gets buckets. Speaking of history, we also saw history being made in the NFL as the Buccaneers defeated my Chicago Bears. 38-3. Defense was just all over Justin Fields, and I'm going to stop making excuses for him for that offensive line, but they are so horrible, it's easy to make an excuse for Justin Fields. Soon as he called hype, they are in his face, but I digress. That offensive line gave up 4 sacks. 2 fumbles was lost. 3 interceptions were thrown. Yeah, you could put some of the blame on Justin Fields, but a lot of that blame goes on that coaching staff and that offensive line and on general management for not bringing in good talent to put around this young quarterback. But this, again, this is about Tom Brady. And Tom Brady came into this game and went to work. He had another 4 touchdown day on the day. He was 20 of 36 in the 4 attempts, 211 yards in the air. No interceptions thrown. He gave 8 receptions for 111 yards and 1 touchdown to Chris Godwin. And Mike Evans doing his thing with 6 receptions for 76 yards and had a 3 touchdown catch day. Leonard Fournette doing his thing as the running back, 15 carries for 81 yards and 1 tough touchdown in the end zone as he rumbled and tumbled and made his way in. Tom Brady now, y'all, has now thrown for 600 touchdowns. The first and only quarterback in the NFL to ever throw for 600 touchdowns. He currently sits at 602 touchdowns in his career and only 194 interceptions thrown. Not to mention this year, he also leads the league in passing attempts and passing completions and passing yards through the first games of this first half of the regular season in the NFL. Tom Brady continues to do it again and again and again and again. And this Buccaneers team looks deadly. And not to mention, they have a favorable schedule. Because if we look at the rest of their games, let's get here. Pull it up on the handy-dandy laptop. They're going to be playing the Saints this Sunday. Then they get a bye week. Then they're going to be playing the Washington football team, the New York Giants, and their toughest outing is going to be probably against the Indianapolis Colts on November 28th. The Buccaneers are looking right now like they can win the rest of their regular season games and go undefeated in the second half of their regular season. You guys keep your eyes on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Tom Brady's playing at another level right now. As I just mentioned, he is going berserk, and I would not want to be a team that has to face Tom Brady and the Buccaneers right now, especially because they have also been hit by the injury bug, and they're going to be getting some players back very soon. Gronkowski's going to come back. Antonio Brown's going to come back. Some of their defense that they're missing is going to come back. The Buccaneers are going to be deadly. Richard Sherman will be back. Keep your eyes on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And last but not least, I got to talk about the Brooklyn Nets. And with the Brooklyn Nets is going on, I apologize if y'all can hear this dog barking. I have no control over that. I'm sorry. But the Brooklyn Nets right now is also another one of the teams favorite to win the NBA championship and have not had an excellent start to their season. As you know, they're going through the debacle with Kyrie because Kyrie does not want the vaccination right now. And it's not an NBA mandate, but it is a mandate in the city of New York that if you are not vaccinated, you cannot play in those arenas, even if you're on the home team. Well, Kyrie caused up some commotion yesterday following a loss to the Charlotte Hornets as the Brooklyn Nets lost to the Hornets 95-111. LaMelo had himself a game out there going crazy against the Brooklyn Nets. Him and my boy Miles Bridges, as Miles Bridges gave you 32 points off 9 of 16, shooting 3 of 5 from the field. LaMelo doing LaMelo things, 18.5 assists. I mean, since he stepped up into this starting lineup, Charlotte has been looking like a team that is on a mission as they had moved to 3-0 behind that win against the Brooklyn Nets. And as we know, the team has been getting asked, Kevin Durant in particular, because he had a pretty decent game. Kevin Durant gave you 38 points, 17 to 24 from the field, 2 of 6 from the three-point line, 3 assists, 5 rebounds. We're still looking for James Harden, who has yet to show up yet 15 points, James Harden. You were MVP of this league at one point, James Harden. 15 points off 6 of 16 shooting ain't going to cut it. But they've been asking Kevin Durant about Kyrie and what Kyrie means to this team. And KD is tired of it. KD said, yes, I want Kyrie out here on the floor. Who doesn't want to play with a talent like Kyrie Irving? Unfortunately, that's not going to happen. Right now, we can't be waiting on Kyrie to magically pop up on the court and rescue us. We have to put it all out there on the basketball court and get the job done. But Kyrie caused some commotion. Had some supporters out there, anti-vaxxer supporters, who was against the mandate. Came out and supported Kyrie, and it was a very diverse crowd. It had some old, some young, some white, some black, some Asian, some Latino, men and women, children and grown folk. I mean, everybody came out to support Kyrie. You know, the message was, let Kyrie play. And a lot of, you know, New York especially has been one of those cities, you know, as you know, they were hit hard by COVID. So I can understand the mandate to a point. But, you know, this is also people's livelihood who are you messing with. And you know, people are not able to work now because they don't want to take that vaccine. And now, you know, they're not able to perform their duties because of this mandate, you know, set in place by the state, by the city, you know, and they're not able to go to work. So Kyrie also falling victim to that. And people seeing the direction that the Brooklyn Nets are moving in, being 1-2. On this young season, and they want to see Kyrie play, you know. Everybody always say, Rob, what's your 2 cents on the vaccine and the mandate? I don't know. I don't have a side on either side. As I mentioned, I'm vaccinated. I had to get vaccinated with the job that I do, and I travel for my job, so it's just safer to be vaccinated as I'm around my wife, as I come around my family, just to do everything I have to do to try to keep them safe. But I wasn't all gung-ho to take the vaccine as well. You know, I'm not going to sit here and lie to you. So, you know, Kyrie makes up some good points, you know, as far as, you know, your immune system being able to fight certain things off and whatnot. But, you know, our immune system hasn't seen anything like COVID-19 as of yet. So, you know, I understand that point. You know, New York was one of those places that got hit hard. So I can understand their frustration. But, hey, and it's not an NBA thing. So I don't think that the state of New York is going to be lifting that mandate any soon. Because Kyrie Irving is not playing basketball. So the Nets need to figure out what they need to do because they're not going to be getting any bigger, which is one of their problems. They have no presence in the paint. I like Claxton, but, you know, and him, he's too frail, and LaMarcus Aldridge is too old. Not quick enough to contend with some of these more, you know, movable, you know, not movable, but more of these acrobatic bigs, these athletic bigs who can move around in the paint, who can stretch the floor with their shooting. So the Brooklyn Nets are going to have to figure it out the old-fashioned way. First of all, they got to figure out what's wrong with James Harden because James Harden is not playing up to par. You know, he needs to be James Harden, I guess, because they're not calling these ticky-tack fouls that he's used to getting. He's not able to be the James Harden is going to take 20 free throws a night. You know, so he's going to have to figure it out. And Kevin Durant, I know he's like, I left Golden State for this. But, you know, this is your time. You said you wanted your team. This is the time to put in that work to show us the easy money sniper that you are and lead this team to victories and lead them to the playoffs because there's high expectations set for the Brooklyn Nets. And that's my show, y'all. I appreciate you guys for tuning in, man. I appreciate all the love, all the support. Remember, you can catch me on all social media platforms. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Instagram. I'm on TikTok. I'm everywhere, baby. You can also listen to this podcast, not only here on YouTube, listen to it on Spotify, listen to it on iTunes, and on the Rewind Sports 60 Roku channel. Thank you, brother Jerry Rouse. I appreciate all you guys, man. I got nothing but love for you. You already know what I'm about to tell you. Make sure you set, you know, some achievable goals. Get a plan on how you're going to achieve those goals. And then you go out here and then you execute. I love you guys, man. I hope you guys continue to be great. And you already know the slogan, baby. We gone. There's a bigger fight going on. There's a much bigger agenda than the streets. And I know sometimes it's hard to see that far in front of us, but we have to look past the illusions, look past the delusions of grandeur, and look at the bigger picture. We need to become better versions of ourselves each and every day. Fight for what you believe in. Because if you stand for nothing, you'll fall for anything. We just getting started, baby. You guys know the slogan now. Hope you all have a great evening. And we got...